It's Monday, May 18th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast on what is kind of a sad day for me here. One of my friends, a person that I know and respect greatly, the Reverend Eddie Lepp, just got sentenced to 10 years in prison today for growing medical marijuana. We'll talk more about that in our Daily Audio Stash Hemp Headlines. Now, before we get started, I want to point out some local normalizers who are trying to build up support in their area to form a new normal chapter. I received an email from Brent in South Central Kentucky, who has started the email address reformkycannabis@gmail.com. If you're in South Central Kentucky and would like to join up with Brent in trying to form a new normal chapter, send an email to reformkycannabis@gmail.com. Also, activists in Omaha, Nebraska and Lincoln, Nebraska are looking to start normal chapters in Nebraska, as well as chapters in Southern Illinois and Northern Virginia. Got some people emailing me about that as well. So if you're in any of those areas, South Central Kentucky, Southern Illinois, Northern Virginia, or Nebraska, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll put you in touch with these normalizers who are trying to form a chapter. Also, this Friday is our monthly segment, Cultivator's Corner, with Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine. So if you've got any questions about marijuana growing, send them in to me here at stash@normal.org. We'll ask those questions of Danny this Friday. Now, coming up in today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got your hemp headlines with some good news from the Supreme Court, which refused to hear a challenge to a California decision that said California's medical marijuana law is not contravened by federal law. This puts the counties of San Diego and San Bernardino back on the hook for issuing medical marijuana ID cards. The bad news, of course, out of California is the sentencing of Eddie Lepp to a 10-year mandatory minimum for growing thousands of marijuana plants for medical users. Also, we've got an opinion piece from the New York Times that talks about legalizing all vices, marijuana, drugs, prostitution, and gambling, as a way to raise money for the states. Also, some reefer madness out of Pennsylvania as a police officer muses on the terrible things that would happen with legal medical marijuana in the Keystone State. Today is our Pot and Politics Day, so we're going to be speaking with Dale Gieringer, the coordinator for California Normal, with the latest breaking news on the Supreme Court decision and the sentencing of Eddie Lepp. We're continuing the second week of our Winner's Fortnight for Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. These are the winners of the recently announced Global Marijuana Music Awards, and today we look at the best country song. And in our Better Know a Chapter segment, we're going to be speaking with Melissa, the membership coordinator for Tennessee Normal, and what it's like to be a new Normal Board of Directors member, and how to start a new Normal chapter. This podcast is dedicated to Eddie Lepp, and reminding you all to call President Obama at 202-456-1111 and tell him he needs to commute the sentence of Eddie Lepp. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Supreme Court affirms that state medical marijuana laws do not preempt federal drug ban. From Fox News. The Supreme Court announced Monday it will not get involved in a dispute over California's medical marijuana law. The case presented a direct conflict to the justices of California's Compassionate Use Act, which its detractors say contravenes federal laws prohibiting drug use. A California appeals court ruled last summer that the state's medical marijuana law does not preempt a federal drug ban. Monday's decision by the High Court effectively affirms that ruling. 13 states have laws allowing for the limited use of marijuana. California's law allows for individuals and their caregivers to, quote, possess, cultivate, and transport, end quote, marijuana as long as it is used for medical purposes. Local officials in San Diego objected and filed a lawsuit saying the state law violates the Federal Controlled Substances Act. In its argument to the court, local officials said the California law is contrary to federal efforts to limit drug use. They argued, quote, it is inevitable that marijuana originally grown for medicinal use will fall into the hands of recreational drug users, end quote. California joined a handful of pro-marijuana groups in asking the court to not take the case. They argued the specifics of this case made it a poor vehicle for the high court to use in deciding such a controversial issue. San Diego County, San Bernardino County, guess what? You lost! Your silly little argument that you have lost at every trial and appeals court level has finally been declared over by the highest court in the land. The people of California want medical marijuana. The state has made it legal, and your little conservative enclaves have to obey the laws just like everyone else, even the laws you don't personally like. You have to issue medical marijuana ID cards to patients that want them. You have to allow patients to grow and possess and use their natural medications. You have to be obedient counties in the state of California. Now, will someone press a Freedom of Information Act request to determine how much taxpayer money these two counties wasted in the continued pursuit of a dubious legal strategy that had tasted defeat at every judicial level? President Obama, free Eddie Lepp. San Francisco, California. A federal judge in San Francisco Monday sentenced a Lake County man to 10 years in prison for growing more than 1,000 marijuana plants, saying the activist appeared to, quote, want to be a martyr for the cause, end quote. The sentence for Charles Eddie Lepp, age 56, was the mandatory minimum under federal law for growing more than 1,000 plants. U.S. District Judge Marilyn Patel said Lepp didn't qualify for a so-called safety valve exception with a lesser sentence, because he testified at his trial last fall that he was a proud leader of others who grew marijuana on his land. Patel told Lepp, quote, I think Mr. Lepp is very proud of what he has been doing. The problem is that now, unfortunately, Mr. Lepp, it's caught up with you. Maybe you want to be a martyr for the cause. That will be your lot, end quote. The U.S. law doesn't allow the safety valve exception for people who are leaders of drug crimes. Patel said she thought the length of the sentence was excessive, but said it would be up to Congress to change the law. I've been working in marijuana law reform now for 4 years. Eddie Lepp is the first activist I've known personally to become a prisoner of drug war. I last spoke with Eddie last September at our Portland hemp stock. And to know that this gentle man is going to prison for a decade at age 56 makes me physically ill. This religious man, who so bravely helped so many sick and dying and sense-threatened Californians find relief through the medicine grown on his land, is going to spend more time in prison than the average rapist, manslaughterer, and child molester, because our country has not yet overcome its prudish impulse to punish people for moral reasons. President Obama, you can commute his sentence. With the stroke of a pen, you can see that Reverend Eddie Lepp receives no more punishment for being convicted of growing plants for sick people than Scooter Libby received for felony convictions of obstruction of justice, twice for perjury, and providing false statements to federal investigators. Eddie Lepp's felony conviction will stand, but we will save the taxpayers the unnecessary burden of feeding, clothing, and housing a man who is no threat to society. Or you could do the truly just thing, Mr. President, and pardon Eddie Lepp, removing all prison punishment and the felony convictions, seeing as Eddie Lepp was forbidden from entering any real sort of defense to the charges, since federal courts do not allow testimony regarding California's medical use law. I just cannot stomach the notion that people that ordered torture are getting away with it, people that greedily sacked Wall Street are getting away with it, and the guy who ordered 9/11 has gotten away with it, but one middle-aged Rastafarian minister who grows medical marijuana must be punished according to strict adherence to the rule of law. President Obama, free Eddie Lepp. Please call President Obama at 202-456-1111 and tell him to free Eddie Lepp. The New York Times, Paying with Our Sins, opinion column. The Obama administration's drug czar made news last week by saying he wanted to end all loose talk about a, quote, war on drugs. The czar, Gil Kerlikowske, said, quote, "We're not at war with people in this country," and he favors forcing people into treatment programs rather than jail cells. "Here's a better idea, and one thing that will help the federal and state governments fill their coffers. Legalize drugs and then tax the sales of them. And while we're at it, welcome all forms of gambling, rather than just the few currently and arbitrarily allowed, and let prostitution go legit too. All of these vices involving billions of dollars and consenting adults already take place. They just take place beyond the taxman's reach. Legalizing the world's oldest profession probably wasn't what Rahm Emanuel, the White House chief of staff, meant when he said that we should never allow a crisis to go to waste. But turning America into a sin city on the hill could help President Obama pay for his ambitious plans to overhaul healthcare and invest in green energy. More taxed vices would certainly lead to significant new revenue streams at every level. That's one of the reasons 52% of voters in a recent Zogby poll said they support legalizing, taxing, and regulating the growth and sale of marijuana. Similar cases could be made for prostitution and all forms of gambling. Based on estimates from the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, Americans spend at least $64 billion a year on illegal drugs. And according to a 2006 study by the former president of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, John Getman, marijuana is already the top cash crop in a dozen states, and among the top five crops in 39 states, with a total annual value of $36 billion. A 2005 cost-benefit analysis of marijuana prohibition by Jeffrey Miron, a Harvard economist, calculated that ending marijuana prohibition would save $7.7 billion in direct state and federal law enforcement costs, while generating more than $6 billion a year if it were taxed at the same rate as alcohol and tobacco. The drug czar's office says that a gram of pure cocaine costs between $100 and $150, a gram of heroin almost $400, and a bulk gram of marijuana between $15 and $20. These transactions are now occurring off the books of business and government alike. Normal doesn't take a stand on legalization of prostitution, gambling, and drugs, just marijuana. Personally, While I see the logic in allowing consenting adults to consent to things adults do with their money and their genitals, I worry about the marijuana legalization argument being folded in with these other three arguments. In the 1970s, marijuana legalization arguments got mixed up with arguments for cocaine, and the public support fell apart. If the public sees marijuana legalization tied into a more libertarian, let's legalize it all approach, I'm afraid the public support will again fall apart. If the discussions start to turn away from marijuana and to these other subjects, bring it back to marijuana. For example, if the question comes along, if you're going to legalize pot, why not legalize meth and coke too? A proper answer might be, certainly you don't think marijuana is the same as meth, coke, or heroin, do you? We have different laws for Tylenol than we do for morphine. One you can buy over the counter and the other requires a prescription. I wouldn't want hard drugs treated like marijuana any more than I want OxyContin treated like beer. Now, notice how I avoided answering the should we legalize hard drugs question. This is a rhetorical pivot where you force the opponent to validate an impossible premise, that legalizing pot means the same treatment is inevitable for hard drugs. If you get the question, if you're going to raise money from sin taxes on marijuana, why not just legalize prostitution and gambling and tax that too? You might answer, taxing marijuana is a consumption tax based on an individual's personal use of a product, marijuana. Gambling and prostitution are services, not products. Others can argue the wisdom of regulating and taxing gambling and prostitution, but I'm here to talk about the regulation and taxation of a product that has been proven to be less harmful than two substances we already regulate and tax, alcohol and tobacco. So I feel we've already proven that to be a superior method of social control for these products. And again, no addressing whether I think we should tax and regulate prostitution and gambling, and differentiation of marijuana from these other controversies. So don't let them get you caught up in the legalize all drugs or legalize gambling and prostitution arguments. Stay focused and stick with the marijuana. Pennsylvania moves forward with medical marijuana. Local officials repeat tired old reefer madness claims. From the Beaver County Times, Benjamin Wilhelm, president of Western Pennsylvania Normal, a Baden-based advocacy group that tries to spread awareness and educate the public about marijuana, said he wholeheartedly supports the bill. He says he has been in contact with people who say medical marijuana would take the edge off and help ease their condition. He said many prescription medications that people take don't cure patient conditions. Wilhelm said, quote, "The medications that they give you for those types of conditions can hold you back in a lot of the way you live your life. They're often a lot more dangerous and destructive to your body and your system than marijuana would be," end quote. For example, Dilaudid, prescribed to patients such as those with multiple sclerosis, is a narcotic pain-relieving drug with adverse side effects that can include withdrawal symptoms, respiratory depression, seizure, and cardiac arrest, according to the Food and Drug Administration. Benjamin does a good job with the Dilaudid example to counteract one of the common reefer madness complaints we hear when states take up the medical marijuana issue. But there are other legal drugs people can take besides marijuana. The latest High Times magazine has a great table with a list of various conditions along the left side, like nausea, pain, seizures, and so on, with columns for the recommended pharmaceutical solution and what side effects it creates, followed by columns for marijuana's use for that condition, and a tongue-in-cheek column describing marijuana's side effects. This is a very common misconception that average people with no cannabis experience maintain, the take a pill as the default reaction to illness or injury. This weekend, I received a reminder call for my Red Cross apheresis treatment, and that's where they remove my blood, separate out the platelets, and then put the red cells and plasma back in me. As always, they said, "Remember, no aspirin for 48 hours prior to the appointment." And I replied, "I don't take aspirin ever, so no problem." I went in for the treatment on Sunday. I told the intake nurse that just after I got that call, Me and a friend played some pickup basketball, and my 41-year-old fat white guy left knee didn't appreciate my efforts. It gets a bit stiff and swollen. He replied, "You didn't take any aspirin, did you?" "No," I told him, "I don't take pills except when extremely necessary." He then said, "Well, you can take an Advil if you like, just not aspirin." I said, "No, that's okay. I just put some ice on it and elevated it." Well, and I rubbed some hemp balm on it and smoked a big fat bowl, but I didn't tell him that part. He then replied, "Well, good. I'm glad you iced it, but you know, you can take some Advil if it gets too painful. I've got a couple now if you'd like." "No, thanks," I answered, and kind of wondered if two interns were going to come in and force some Advil down my throat. But getting back to the story from Pennsylvania in the Beaver County Times, one of the police chiefs, of course, had to weigh in on his opinion about medical marijuana. Center Township Police Chief Barry Kramer, who is against decriminalization, said he believes legalizing marijuana for medical purposes will only introduce more users into society. He said alcohol use has increased since 1933, when Prohibition was repealed, and is now the number one drug problem in the United States. Kramer said the same can happen with marijuana. Do they not issue computers and the Google to police in Pennsylvania? The third link I got when Googling American alcohol consumption brought me Secular Trends in Alcohol Consumption Over 50 Years, the Framingham Study, published in the American Journal of Medicine, Volume 121, Issue 8 from August of 2008, which found Americans are drinking significantly less beer and more wine, while hard liquor use has remained fairly constant. More people now report that they are non-drinkers. People born later in the 20th century drink more moderately than older people. As we age, our individual alcohol consumption goes down. Subjects both from the original cohort and from the children of the original cohort have been interviewed every 4 years from 1948 until 2003, since each individual was followed directly, a set of histories of lifetime alcohol use could be captured. To be fair, Chief Kramer is right about alcohol use increasing following the repeal of Prohibition. Jeffrey Myron looked at the per capita consumption of alcohol and found that after Prohibition's repeal, consumption skyrocketed in the 1930s. It was the Depression, though, so you might understand people wanting to drink. However, per capita alcohol consumption declined in the 1950s and 1960s and didn't outpace the pre-Prohibition levels of drinking until the 1970s. Then, since the mid-1980s, and as the Framingham study notes, alcohol consumption is on the decline. In fact, according to the National Institutes on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, alcohol consumption in the 2000s looks to be lower than it was prior to Prohibition in the 1900s. The main difference I'd note is that people drank more beer and hard liquor back then, and we drink more wine now. But overall, we're drinking less than the Americans whose consumption inspired alcohol prohibition. Another Pennsylvania legislator dredges up some more classic reefer madness. Representative Jim Marshall, Republican from Big Beaver, said unless he hears some overwhelming support from the district, he would likely vote against the bill. Quote, "My gut feeling would be that I would not support it. I've heard that chemically, carcinogens in marijuana are the same that are in tobacco. Inhaling could cause lung cancer or other internal damage." End quote. Say it again with me, Stashers, loud enough for them to hear in the 14th District of Pennsylvania. Marijuana smoking, even regular smoking of large amounts of marijuana, does not lead to increased incidence of head, neck, or lung cancers. And there are more ways to use marijuana than smoking it.
Well, I smoked some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org, Normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Get motivated to get it regulated. Join us in some political activism today. You can start by visiting norml.org. All right, for today in Pot and Politics, we're going to be taking a look at the state of California, where two important breaking stories have just happened this morning. Here to talk to us about it is the coordinator from California Normal, Dr. Dale Gehringer. And Dale, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
I guess we should tackle this as kind of a good news, bad news. The good news today came from the United States Supreme Court. Tell our listeners a little bit about this San Diego case.
Yeah, basically the Supreme Court affirmed the decision of all California courts that Proposition 215 is constitutional, that there is no conflict between state law and federal law, at least at a constitutional level. This originated in a case, actually, that was started with San Diego Normal, when San Diego Normal threatened to sue the county of San Diego for failing to implement the state medical marijuana identification card system that each county is supposed to implement. San Diego responded with a counter lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the state ID card system and Proposition 215 in general, saying that it was basically a mandate for the state to disobey federal law and that this was unconstitutional. Now, this is a preposterous constitutional theory, and we recognize it as such, and it got struck down by the state courts in California, the San Diego lawsuit did, a couple years back, but it's been wending its way through the courts, and, you know, it was upheld by, in all California courts, and as a last-ditch appeal, San Diego appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which properly denied certiorari, meaning it won't hear the case that, so that settles it, once and for all, if there were any doubt about this, Prop 215 is valid state law, and by extension, I think all of the state medical marijuana laws can be assumed to be equally valid state laws.
Now, the immediate effect of this would be for San Diego and San Bernardino to have to issue those cards now?
Yeah, they'll have to issue the cards, but there's more than that involved. There's a lot that they've been disregarding. For example, our state law basically says that patients should be able to operate collectives and cooperative cultivation operations, and there are even official state guidelines for doing so. San Diego has been very stubborn in not allowing that to happen, saying that, and they've sort of used the Supreme Court appeal as an excuse to disregard state law. I think now they're going to have to abandon that and make allowance for some sort of distribution by cooperatives and collectives in the county. So it actually has rather broad repercussions, we hope.
Yeah, and, you know, another type of story that I read a lot coming from California will be from this township or this county board saying they want to put moratoriums or stop any further dispensaries or co-ops from existing. How does this affect those local-level ordinances in any way?
I, I wouldn't say so. The legality of those ordinances is a complicated question under state law. Because they're somewhat different than the blanket policy that San Diego had of not allowing cooperatives and collectives in general. The local bans have to do with particular storefront operations, which are an animal of a slightly different color. So the state law situation is very complicated, to tell you the truth. But this means that at least the locals can't use federal law as a cover for disregarding state law.
I see. Okay. And then the other important news story breaking out of California today is the bad news side of our updates here. The Reverend Eddie Lepp, who had grown at Eddie's Medicinal Gardens, was sentenced today. Give us the breakdown on that, Dale.
Yeah, I just came back from that court. Eddie received a mandatory minimum of 10 years, which the judge herself called excessive. But she said quite properly that they had no choice under the mandatory minimum laws because Eddie was certainly, quite definitely, growing over 1,000 plants. I mean, the truth be told, he had over 30,000 plants that he was growing in sort of what I would describe as a massive civil disobedience of sorts along a state highway. There was basically a pot plantation out there. Cars were driving by. Eddie was totally open about what he was doing. The idea is that, you know, the plants were collectively grown by various patients, and, you know, each patient had a certain number of the plants that were that patient's, and so on and so forth. But it was too big and too good to last. He did get busted, but unfortunately, the fact that there were more than 1,000 plants brought him under this mandatory minimum, and the fact that he was sort of the organizer of this whole operation made him not eligible for the so-called safety valve to exempt him from the mandatory minimum. And so there we are, stuck with yet another medical marijuana prisoner in California, sentenced, as I say, to 10 years. Eddie's 56 years old. He's not in the best of health either.
Yeah. It's such a sad story. And the thing that makes this sadder is this being a federal case, all of California Prop 215 as a defense is out the window in that situation.
Oh, yeah. Eddie ran through that. And when it was clear he couldn't do the Prop 215 defense, he went on and tried a religious defense, as you referred to him, the Reverend Eddie Lepp, as has been also a Rastafarian in all these years, and that defense came to naught as well. He's certainly very sincere about all his beliefs, and he even had a chance at the end to the federal prosecutor wanted him basically to recant some of his testimony as having been untruthful with regards to his participation in the grow. And Eddie said in court today that he would rather spend 10 years in prison than not be able to look at himself in the morning by telling what he regarded to be an untruth. So he's really sort of a martyr for the cause. The upside on this, the judge, who's pretty sympathetic in this case, said that, of course, if federal law should change, Eddie could petition for a change in sentence. We're hopeful that in the 10 years that Eddie has to serve, we can change federal law, perhaps, and get him out sooner.
Yeah, sooner rather than later, we certainly hope. And I'm going to encourage everyone listening to this to give a call to President Obama's office at 202-456-1111. This sentence can be commuted with the stroke of a pen. There's no reason he needs to be in prison.
That's another point.
Yeah, and to see, you know, what we're dealing with in our justice system right now and all the troubles that this country has to face right now, locking up 56-year-old men for 10 years does not seem like a very wise use of our resources.
Right.
Well, Dale, I appreciate you bringing this news to us, the good news with regard to the Supreme Court, and unfortunately the bad news with regard to Eddie Lepp. Do you have any contact information yet for Eddie if people want to write to him?
No, actually, He is going to turn himself in voluntarily on July 6th, so he's still out. He does have, I think he has a website out there, but I don't have the contact for that. Yeah. Sorry.
We'll find it. We'll put it up on the stash.
Eddie's Medicinal Gardens.
That's right. Eddie Lepp is EddyLepp. Just do a Google. You'll probably find him that way as well. And of course, for latest breaking information from the state of California, check out California Normal's website at canorml.org. Dale Gehringer is the coordinator for California Normal, joins us from time to time with news from the Golden State. Dale, thank you so much, and we're hoping for better news in the future.
You're welcome.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Today's 2009 Global Marijuana Music Awards winning song is Best Country Song, Farmer's Prayer by Indus Guys. Indus Guys from Canada encompass all genders and races. The band tried to represent everyday cannabis consumers in a reasonable and truthful light. They wish to educate those who have fears about ending cannabis prohibition and promote the idea of a national vote on cannabis legalization. The band includes Kush, who's mainly known for songwriting but is also well known for many cannabis-related exploits. Mr. Kush is as hardcore as they come when it comes to ending prohibition. John of Indus Guys began slowly switching vices from liquor to pot. He likes the way smoking touches the creative part of the mind while leaving motor skills and judgment relatively intact. For more about the band members and their music, visit indusguys.com. That's IndusGuys, indusguys.com. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's the 2009 GMMA Best Country Song by Indus Guys called Farmer's Prayer.
May the soil you till below me. May the sun be on your side. May you get rain when you need it and grow your best with pride. May the hard work that you do make you feel good deep inside. May Mother Nature walk with you. May God be by your side. Can you stand the stormy weather? Can you bear the heavy loads? Can you get up early in the morning, drive down dirt country roads? May you have your share of good times without worry, without fear. May you have more good luck than bad. This is my farmer's prayer. May all your dreams be realized. May you be one with the land. May you learn to love your neighbor and try and understand that the good deeds that you do will come back to you in time. At the end of your long working day, I hope you're feeling fine. Can you stand stormy weather? Can you bear the heavy loads? Can you get up early in the morning and drive down dirt country roads? May you have your share of good times without worry, without fear. May you have more good luck than bad. This is my farmer's prayer. May your children grow up healthy. May your aches and pains be few. May you find yourself one true love who'll stand right beside you. May you have a few good friends to help you through life's rocky miles. When your farming days on earth are done, I hope you see God's smile. Can you stand the stormy weather? Can you bear the heavy loads? Can you get up early in the morning and drive down dirt country roads? May you have your share of good times without worry, without fear. May you have more good luck than bad. This is my farmer's prayer.
I'm a normal guy. I like the outdoors. I work a 9-to-5. And I use marijuana recreationally and responsibly in the privacy of my own home. Recently, I became one of the 20 million Americans who have been arrested for a marijuana-related offense. Now I face jail time and my future is in jeopardy. But couldn't police resources have been spent more wisely? After all, 90% of all marijuana-related arrests are for simple possession. Is this normal?
What makes Normal the most popular and effective marijuana reform organization in the world is the dedicated political activists at the grassroots level who make up our Normal chapters and college affiliates all across America and around the world. The people at these local Normal chapters are just like you, average cannabis consumers with an above-average desire to fight for truth, justice, and freedom. You can make a difference in your area by joining your local Normal chapter. If there isn't one nearby, get yourself and four friends to join National Normal, then send an email to chapters@normal.org, and we'll get you started on forming your own Normal chapter. Then what? Well, listen in now to someone just like you who's already formed a Normal chapter in our continuing Monday segment,
Chapter of the Week.
Political activists standing in the streets now. Political activists. I'm crying for justice.
For today's look at one of our Normal chapters, we're going to the great state of Tennessee. And joining us by telephone is Melissa Pazesnik from Tennessee Normal, the membership coordinator, in fact. So, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Good to be here.
I think you're going to be a great person to talk to our audience about this because you were telling me that you're pretty new to this Normal chapter. Is that right?
Yes, I'm very new. I'm like a baby.
So what got you involved with joining a normal chapter? How did you find out about it?
You know, honestly, it was out of frustration. And my husband, who is a non-smoker, had heard of normal. And I had never heard of normal. I didn't know there was an organization like this that even existed. So it was honestly during a day of frustration at not being able to find any pot safely. honestly, that's what it was. I was frustrated because, you know, people, you know, we have to guard ourselves because of how the laws are right now. And I just started looking, and I went to the normal national normal site, and I looked up chapter, and I saw a couple of email addresses. So I just followed through from there until I got somebody. And I'm very glad to be a part of this.
Oh, that's excellent. And you got a hold of Carla Chamberlain, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. So, yeah, I've met Carla down there in Tennessee. I was I got to speak there on the day before Election Day last year, so it was quite fun. Good chapter down there in Tennessee. What are you guys up to lately? What's your next event that you're going to be doing?
Right now, we're coming off of having done the Worldwide Marijuana March twice. We marched on May 2nd and May 9th. We were just that excited.
Just to be sure, huh?
Yeah, and Bonnaroo is coming up here in Manchester, Tennessee, and that's a huge event. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with that. And the thing with that, though, is we'd have to get a vendor's license. And the last time someone attempted to go down from our chapter was last year, and all of his paraphernalia and everything was just confiscated. So we're kind of weighing our options as far as that goes. But the newest things we have on the computer are our Google group, which is 10normal, TNNORML at googlegroups.com. And, we got that organized because that's going to be a site that, I'm going to try to keep up with action alerts and everything from the national site and get us mobilized locally on, getting things moving forward. And also, we have a group on Facebook that's with the same name, TNNORML. That's the Tennessee Normal Group. So just we're trying to make sure we get our locals organized and get us moving.
Excellent. Now, how about meetings? Are you guys holding regular meetings?
No, no regular meetings right now because of the fact that we're going through kind of transition as far as like expanding to the computer and stuff like that. So we're kind of, you know, still keeping things on the computer base for now, except for the upcoming events like the March. You know, that's something that we got together for the last time.
Do you find it hard getting people in Tennessee to want to, you know, openly support Tennessee Normal because of the politics or maybe the people's attitudes there?
You know, honestly, I think it's just like any other state that has to deal with these, you know, type of prohibitionary laws. You know, we have a range of people from people who are just out and were just born out of the cannabis closet. You know what I mean?
That's me.
And we, and, you know, and we have some people like me, more in the middle range, who I've been a smoker off and on for years, but I just got tired, you know, and so I came out, you know, sort of officially this year, I guess you'd say, because I have told a few people who didn't know. And then we also have the range of people who have a lot more to lose by coming out of the closet as far as because of the stigmas associated with smokers. It's kind of like a personal choice, you know, and I can't really hold that against people who aren't ready yet, you know.
Okay. And, you know, looking at the state of Tennessee, I know that, you're closer to more of the city areas, but, you know, Tennessee's got a lot of beautiful rural areas. And I'm wondering, do you guys at Tennessee Normal, do you focus much on the hemp farming angle to try to talk to those rural people?
You know, honestly, I can't answer for the rest of the chapter as far as that goes since I'm new. But just recently on our Google group site, I saw, on the national site, I saw the, Hemp Farming Act that's coming up, and there's an action alert for that. And I posted that on our Tennessee Normal, Google group, and I'm encouraging our members to go ahead and support that because I think it all goes together. And I would like to see, you know, that as being part of the thing that we also, you know, get out and mobilize for.
Excellent. Okay, so you've got the Facebook group at TNNORML. There's a Google group at TNNORML. Any other contacts, phone numbers or email addresses people should know?
Basically, let's go ahead and just give them those two for now. We're going to be growing and changing, but right now those are definite, and so it'll be better to stick with that.
Okay. Now, Melissa, one last thing before I let you go. You know, like you said, you're pretty new to this, and it was an, this event that caused you to kind of see the light and want to get involved with this. What advice would you give to someone who's on the fence right now, who's thinking about joining Tennessee Normal, but, you know, they're just not sure?
I would say just step out and do something. There's always going to be a place for someone to jump in, no matter what range of, you know, being out of the closet they're in. It's kind of like one of those things where I thought about how if the laws were different, I would benefit from them. And I don't want to sit around and let other people do that work for me to help get those things changed. So for me, it was a personal decision. And just like everybody else, actually, it is going to be a personal decision. But I encourage them to, you know, donate something of themselves, it, whether it's money, you know, whether it's your time, whether it is your face and body getting out, there's something that you can give, and I just encourage them to give something.
Oh, well put. I couldn't have put it better. There's something for everyone here at Normal, especially in the age of the internet when you can be anonymous to a degree and, you know, just donate money online or send emails or whatever. There's something you can do, and if you want to get involved, get in touch with Melissa Pozesnik here at Tennessee Normal. She's your membership coordinator, and we'll post that link at Facebook and Google Groups so people can get involved.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for getting involved and telling us your story, and good luck to everyone out there at Tennessee Normal.
Thanks so much, Russ. Take care.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the words of Reverend Eddie Lepp from Portland Hempstock, September 2008.
The reason I mention this is all of these many years I've been an activist, everybody has always asked me what's the best thing to do. And as I stand here looking at going to prison for the rest of my life, I tell you the best thing to do is tell them to shove that deal right up their fucking ass. Stand up for your rights as an American. Stand up for your rights as a human being. And even if it means going to prison for the rest of your life, don't bend your knee to Babylon. Right after I left here last year, I went home and my wife, Linda, who was my partner for almost 20 years fighting this battle, passed away. On her deathbed, I promised her I'd never quit. I ask all of you to have the courage to stand up with me just once, and I promise you we'll never have to stand up again.